Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We do this thing we call The Balance every Saturday morning. So glad that you're a part of us. I tell you what, this week has just been nuts. Did you guys get unthawed? I bet, you know, I know we're here on Indiana Talks, and thanks for all of our friends on Indiana Talks who is with us right now. We are pleased to have you on board with us. But did you get unthawed? I tell you what, it has just been nuts. What a week. What a week. This week, let me tell you what happened. First of all, we had like we had sub-zero weather. And then on top of all of that, we had, what, 12, 13 inches here in the Indianapolis metro market. Un-freaking-believable. So hopefully everybody's gotten thawed out and ready to go and back to work, if you will, the way they're supposed to be. Oh. All right, well, we got a good show for you planned here, my minions. We got a little bit of a late start today, but coming up here in just a few minutes, we've got Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan, from 1070 The Fan, who is going to be talking with us about the Colts. The Colts, the Patriots, it's today, my friends. Are you ready? It is today. I'll tell you what, I think I'm still frozen out. I'm not quite sure. But today it's the Patriots, the Colts, and we're going to be breaking down all the games. And then coming up here at 9:30, we've got Evan Williams and Jimmy Kavanaugh, who's going to be talking with us about some college hoops. Then also we're going to be joined by $2 Bill Josh and $2 Bill Josh. And we're going to be talking some NFL playoffs the rest of the show. I tell you what, we got a little special surprise for you. Also, at 10:35, we're going to be talking with Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. Going to be talking with us for a few minutes about those Colts and what is going on. Are the Colts going to make it to the Super Bowl this year? Are the Colts going to make it to the Super Bowl this year? Are the Colts going to make it to the Super Bowl this year? My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your boss for the next 2 hours. So sit back and get ready because the ride is just beginning. Again, thank you to all my friends over at India Talks who are now joining us. And we'll be which, by the way, you guys are listening to us on a little bit of a tape, what we call tape delay. And so the show was this morning, taped this morning, but we're so glad that you guys are a part of our network. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper, told by the trees, until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
That's Jack Lime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Rick.
Don't stop.
Oh. I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation. And on that note, which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My. Am I right? Say what?
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. So good to have my next guest along with us this morning on a very snowy morning. Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan. We're going to be talking some of the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, 1070 The Fan, the flagship station of the Colts Radio Network. An exciting time for the Indianapolis Colts. Before we get to that, did you get all thawed out, melted away, and get out in, back in commission there, Matt?
Well, it took about 3 days, but yes, eventually we finally got dug out and Well, I tell you, you know, it's amazing the differences in towns. My real job, aside from radio, takes me all over Indiana. And yesterday I got up north, and it was amazing the difference, even on Friday, the difference between the roads in the Indianapolis area compared to the north of Lafayette. It was unbelievable, the difference. So, yeah, we got out, got back to the regular work finally yesterday, and now we're ready to go for some football Saturday.
Well, absolutely, I cannot wait. And I live in Avon, which is just I know we're a national show, but it's just a little bit west of Indianapolis. And I tell you what, it was miserable. My pipes froze. Fortunately, we didn't
leave. Oh!
Man, I tell you what, I thought I was going to have a flood, but fortunately, nature didn't. My house is only about 5 years old, but they did freeze. And I thought, well, we're going to call a plumber, and then we waited a little bit, and then they thawed out naturally. And I finally got back to my job, my real job, on Wednesday morning. So all is good, and you're right, we're all ready for some football. We're talking with Matt Hicks from 1070, the Fan, the flagship station of the Colts Radio Network, an exciting time to be a part of the Colts Radio Network. As we know, the Indianapolis Colts face their arch nemesis, Tom Brady, and the New England Patriots. As we look at the game from last week, and we get them, and what an exciting win it was for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, all's got to happen is the Chargers have to win twice. Well, they won one of those. They just have to win one more time. We have to win one more time to get back to Indianapolis to go to the Super Bowl. So in order for that to happen, that means that both Peyton Manning and the Broncos have to lose, and Tom Brady and the New England Patriots have to lose. Now, you talk about a polar vortex. There you go. It doesn't get any more chillier than that. What are your thoughts when you look at these matchups over the weekend?
Well, let's start quickly with Denver and San Diego. You know, this is an interesting divisional game that split the regular season. And interestingly enough, the Chargers won, well, at least in the fourth quarter. They won in the fourth quarter of the season in Denver. So this is a game that San Diego comes in with a great deal of confidence. And, you know, Phillip Rivers is a quarterback who, personally, I don't like Phillip Rivers. I don't like the act. I don't like the virtuoso he plays with. I'm more of a Tom Brady, Andrew Luck kind of guy, Manning kind of guy. And but it's almost like an oxymoron, but a confident Phillip Rivers can be very dangerous, and he has nothing but confidence going up against a banged-up Denver defense. And then you look on the other side, you know, Peyton Manning has, quite frankly, especially in the playoffs, struggled with the San Diego defense. This has the potential, barring a Colts upset in New England, to be the biggest upset of the weekend from the standpoint of, could Peyton Manning really be one and done again in the playoffs? And I think it's a real possibility. Now, a lot of things have to go San Diego's way. They have to have a good running game, and they've got to have essentially flawless execution from Phillip Rivers, no turnovers to give themselves the real legitimate shot. But I think it's really possible.
Absolutely, and I tell you what, it's not like San Diego hasn't done that before. So let's propose an interesting question, and certainly that gives us some off-season conversations to talk about. But if Luck goes on to win against the New England Patriots and Peyton Manning falls, one, does Peyton Manning retire? And two, is the legacy being written that Andrew Luck is a better quarterback than Peyton Manning?
Well, we're early. We're very early for both of those questions. I don't think Peyton Manning retires after this season, even if he wins a Super Bowl. I think he will come back at least one more year. I have this inkling for some reason. The number I have in my head is two more seasons. Now, I don't know if he'll make it two more seasons, but I would almost guarantee he'll come back next year no matter what happens in this postseason. Andrew Luck being a better quarterback than Peyton Manning, we've got a long way to go. You know, we were all ready to say that Peyton Manning was the best quarterback of all time.
That's true. Absolutely.
But for his injury, and then suddenly we were starting to question, and it was amazing the year he was hurt when you listened to national radio and, as Mr. Polian used to say, the so-called pundits all of a sudden Peyton Manning was being left off the list of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, and he was injured, so there was obviously justification for that. But he's still right up there with everybody, and I don't know that I'm ready. Obviously, the theatrics aside, I don't know that I'm ready to put Andrew Luck in that category after year two. But what I am ready to do is to say that Andrew Luck has all the tools and the talent around him and the type of player that he is to make talent rise to the occasion, like he did with T.Y. Hilton last week, that, yes, he has every potential, barring injury and barring, you know, one of those just oddball turns that sometimes happens in the NFL with quarterbacks, he has every potential to be one of the greats of all time. There's no question.
Well, absolutely, and I'm looking forward to watching the Indianapolis Colts and the New England Patriots. This is a rivalry that goes back a long, long way. Maybe it's an old rivalry now that Peyton Manning is gone, but Tom Brady is still there, and we still have to go and play on the road on a playoff game to get to the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. Now, here we are, Season 2, Episode 18, for both Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. What a great comeback game. It has to be one for the record books. 45-44 win against the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, everybody wrote off the Indianapolis Colts against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now everybody's writing off the Colts against the Patriots. What are the key things that have to happen? Obviously, we're going to be watching T.Y. Hilton, Robert Mathis, and LeGarrette Blount, but there has to everybody has to come together. And one of the things that I think most importantly has to come, the Colts truly have to play 60 minutes of football, not do all of their football playing in the last half of the game.
Yeah, that's actually, I think that's the, you know, we always try to come up with several keys to the game, but really, in this instance, that's the biggest key to the game. They have to, you don't want to say show up, because they certainly are professional football players, and they're all showing up. But they need to be ready to play, and really, I would put this more on the defensive side of the ball than the offense, because if you recall, that first drive that Andrew Luck had, well, that looked like a drive that was reminiscent of another quarterback that used to play for the Colts. And I'm not even talking about Peyton Manning. That was Johnny Unitas-esque, the way he drove down the field, seven straight passes and a touchdown, boom, and it was 7-7 before we knew it. The defense has to come ready to go, and they have to have a scheme not only to stop Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is a wounded animal right now. He doesn't have Rob Gronkowski. He doesn't even have Aaron Dobson, and, yeah, I don't know who he is either, so you can feel free to look him up, but he's not even there. This is a situation where Tom Brady, in his mind, is going to make somebody a star tomorrow night, and the Colts have to be ready to take whatever option Tom Brady goes to away, and that includes a re-energized LeGarrette Blount and Stephen Ridley, two guys that are going to run the ball, and that might be the kind of the side story to this game, if you will. If those guys combine for 120 yards, it's going to be a long night for the Colts. But if the Colts can lock down the run game like they did in the second half against Kansas City, this could be a very close and a very interesting game in the fourth quarter. But you hit it on the head. 60 minutes of football is the most important key to this Colts game plan tomorrow night.
Well, we're talking with Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan, the flagship station of the Colts Radio Network. Well, it's got to be an exciting time on the defense. And in my humble opinion, I know Vegas has given us a 50-point spread. I think they anticipate a lot of throwing and passing from Tom Brady and Andrew Luck. But you look at it, one thing for sure. Chuck Pagano is out to stop Tom Brady. And the Patriots are out to stop Andrew Luck. And the way they're going to do that is by the defensive side of the ball. Mathis has proved himself on the ability to do that. And he's certainly, if you want to say the next man up for Reggie and replace Reggie Wayne, even if it is on the defensive side, I would say that's true. So I think we're going to have a lower scoring game because both defenses are out there for blood, if you will, against two key franchise quarterbacks, Tom Brady with several rings and Andrew Luck, who has blood in his mouth and is out there to make that happen. So you have two defenses colliding on the field out there at Foxborough. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're. I would agree. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I'd take the under on that 50. I do think it's going to be maybe a total points of 45, maybe even 40, with a 22-20 type of game. And I see that being a realistic possibility, not only because these two defenses, but also the weather's going to come into play a little bit here. We don't know exactly what it's going to do tonight in New England. They originally were calling for rain, then that kind of got downgraded, but it does sound like it might be kind of nasty. It's going to be in the mid-40s. So we'll kind of see how the weather plays into all this tonight, but I do agree. These defenses have a week of playoff seasoning. Players always say there's a level between the exhibition season and the regular season, and then you go to the next level of speed for the playoffs. And I think some young people were introduced to that or reintroduced to that last week. But you know the one thing that I think the Colts are going to learn tonight more than anything else is something about themselves. And they're going to look back to a flat performance against St. Louis or a crappy fourth quarter against the Miami Dolphins or any of those losses, basically the no-show against Arizona. And they're going to look back at any one of those games, any one of those moments, and say, if we had played then, this game would be in Lucas Oil Stadium. And I don't think you can overstate that one bit. That is the next step for this team, is to understand the importance of every regular season game, because the Colts just needed to finish with one more win, and they would have had this game in Lucas Oil Stadium. And I think that's a major factor in tonight's ball game.
Well, absolutely. They have to beat the teams that they have to beat. And there was no excuse for that debacle of a mess against the Rams. There's your one win right there. Yeah, I firmly believe that we circled that game at the beginning of the season. It's the Rams. So for God's sake, it's the Rams. I mean, look at what we did to the Broncos. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the same thing. You know, and of course, you circle the Broncos, 49ers, and Seattle. Ooh, these might be tough ones. But the reality of it is no one's going to look at your jersey or the name on the back of your jersey and say, oh, okay, not showing up today. You know, everybody's on scholarship, and everybody comes to play hard and to win. And whether you're coming into a game, and I don't remember what St. Louis was, but they were, I think, a couple under 500 when they came into that game.
Right.
I think they were 3-5 or 4-6. And, yeah, I mean, they came to play. And the Colts, frankly, and I think Pagano himself admitted to this, and the Colts just weren't prepared to play the St. Louis Rams. And you can point to that game or any shortcoming throughout the season. But I think when you look at a young team, and I classify this Colts team, when you take away Robert Mathis and Adam Vinatieri, you have a pretty young team. When your quarterback is in his second year, you kind of give them the overall stamp of young. I think the next step for this ball club is to understand the importance of not only every game, but every minute, every play of every game. That's the difference between a Peyton Manning and a Tom Brady and a guy like Andy Dalton. They know every throw is crucial. And I'm not saying that Andrew Luck doesn't think that way, because he may be the one guy on the team that absolutely does. But this is the next step for this team. They took a major step forward this year, and I'm not writing off this game tonight by any means. But mm-hmm. They took a major step forward this year by winning the division and securing a game at home. Now the next step is win all your games at home and put yourselves in a position to have home field advantage throughout the entire AFC playoffs. And I think once they do that, that's when this team is more than just a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They're probably a Super Bowl favorite.
Well, one thing that has to happen, and when you look at the game tape and the game footage of the New England Patriots, and if you were to develop a little bit of a chart, you could see that you've got to stop the pass. But really, you've got to stop the short passes, because Tom Brady, as much tape as you watch, you can watch tape after tape after tape after tape, and you watch Tom Brady, down the middle, down the middle, down the middle. You probably come up with a number of around between 30 to 40%. He hits a target. between 0 and 9 yards. Somewhere the Colts have to find a way to defend that pass in the middle. Certainly he does throw to the left and to the right, but what I've noticed by watching Tom Brady, he goes right up the middle, and probably close to 30 to 40% of his hits are less than 9 yards.
No, you're absolutely right, and that is a little bit of the substitute of what their run game is. To some extent, those screen passes, those bubble screens for the wide receiver, the throws in the flat, the tight end, even the fullback and the running back, that is a substitute for their running game. But you do need to be prepared with those and those linebackers. You know, that's going to be a big point of emphasis for the Colts tonight is linebackers and coverage, because you're exactly right. He likes to go underneath. He will take the best matchup. And oftentimes, when you have safeties doubling the outside wide receivers to prevent the big play, you'll get single coverage on your backs and your tight ends with linebackers. And that's not a favorable matchup, especially for the Colts, but most NFL teams. So you're right. Brady's very good at picking apart and taking what's there. And the Colts will have a challenge to play man-to-man on the outside and maybe even bring safety up with Bethea and Landry to double the tight ends and backs out of the backfield, because you're right, they'll get a big chunk of yards or attempt to get a big chunk of yards out of those positions.
Now, this is a young Indianapolis Colts team. What are some of the things that Chuck Pagano and Mathis and even Wayne, Reggie Wayne being on the sidelines, are saying to these young guys? And now we have Deion Branch. I mean, I don't know how much of a contributing factor that he'll be, but certainly he knows what it's like to be with the New England Patriots. He kind of knows their mind frame, their mind setup, even if he, I mean, I don't know how much he can tell them about the Patriots. Obviously, they're going to change every play they ever did with Deion Branch now that he's with the Colts and we're playing with the Colts. But I think this is a young team, and you look at some young players, and maybe even Andrew Luck would be one of those. It's the playoffs. It's Tom Brady. History is on the line. You have to go out there and be calm. So what are some of the things that the leaders on this team need to do for the young guys on this team to keep them calm and to keep them focused?
Well, I think we heard Coach Pagano say this several times last week, and then again this week: leave nothing on the field. You know, play your heart out. Leave nothing on the field, but also play within yourself. And I think that was an old Tony Dungy-ism, if you will. And I'm sure maybe it was invented by somebody else. But you play within yourself, because the minute you start to play outside yourself or without, you know, outside of your means, that's when a big play happens. And big plays are what the Patriots thrive on. It's kind of funny. The Patriots almost don't beat you. They wait for you to beat yourself. They wait for you to get impatient. And Peyton Manning fell victim to this several times. He would try to go deep, and who would pick him off? Ty Law would pick him off because they'd have double coverage or triple coverage on Harrison or Wayne. They almost wait for the moment that you lose your patience. And I think that's going to be a big message to this Colts team this week and for tonight, is to play within yourself, play your game, don't play their game, and be patient, take what's there. And as Coach Pagano has said, kind of the mantra of this playoff for this team is leave it all on the field. You know, this could be your last game with this group of people. You want to make sure it's a memorable one and it's not a stinker, because I think that Baltimore game last year, judging by the players, and it's just all sound bites, but judging by what they've said this past week or these past 2 weeks now, that left a very bad taste in this team's mouth. And I think the players that are back from that group last year don't want to leave with the memories they had. T.Y. Hilton's been very outspoken about he thought that he dropped a few passes that may have turned the game around. He's probably right. They probably would have. So I think this team is really trying to do everything they can to leave a good memory on the field, and hopefully that memory is a victory when it's all said and done.
Well, let's talk about some other caveats with the Indianapolis Colts, and then we'll talk about some of these other games. Caveat number one, Reggie Wayne goes down. And really, I mean, how awful was that for the fans? But also, it had to happen on a night that Peyton Manning was in the house. I mean, you couldn't have scripted that any better. And they did the camera takeaways on Peyton, on Andrew, looking at Reggie Wayne. And Andrew Luck later, I think, blamed himself a lot for it. And Reggie Wayne came up and said, no, you know, that you're not to blame for that. And, of course, Peyton Manning saw that happen. How big of an impact to the morale of the team has Reggie Wayne going down? Or is it, hey, we're going to win this for Reggie?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Every time something traumatic happens to this team, and I'm not comparing Reggie Wayne's knee injury to cancer, but there are some similarities there. When something traumatic happens to this team, it's amazing how galvanizing it is. You know, immediately, well, they rallied. And they won, I believe, the next game they played without Reggie Wayne and actually looked okay. And then the offense looked a little bit lost for a couple weeks. I think there were two injuries to this team this year that affected it greatly. Dwayne Allen is one, and I've caught some flack about my overstatement of Dwayne Allen's importance of the offense. But I really do feel that he was a key cog to this offense and a key to what they wanted to do with the power run game that has essentially been abandoned at this point, but also in the passing game, because he's a great catching tight end. He's one of the best blockers on the team. And when he went down, that was a major injury for this team. But Reggie Wayne, more so than his contribution on the field, was off the field. And I thought a great statement about Reggie Wayne was seeing him on the sidelines so quickly after being injured, essentially being an assistant wide receiver coach and still helping his position as best he can without contributing on the field. That is a testament not only to his ability and want to win as a player, but this is his character. I think if he had gone away and we didn't see Reggie Wayne, except maybe, you know, from a shot in Miami, him rehabbing, I think this team may have responded differently. But the fact that he stayed, he helped the coaching staff, he helped the players, he's essentially, by all reports, helping this team prepare for New England. I think that was a major step towards the healing process that, you know, hey, he's going to be with us, he just can't be on the field. I think that helps considerably. But you're right, though. I mean, that's a near devastating injury. A lot of pundits thought they would be a one-and-done team after that injury, pretty well locked into the playoffs even back then. Just by looking at the division and how poor the division was. So they did accomplish something by winning last week, but I know this team feels that it's a team that can go to the Super Bowl and play in the Super Bowl and play to win it. So they're not satisfied with winning one game in the playoffs. They want to win four games in the playoffs, and I think Reggie Wayne's been their biggest cheerleader.
Do you think that, and maybe the fans are just too quick, of course it's not as bad as maybe Philadelphia or some other teams, but certainly the fans in Indianapolis are accustomed to things being a certain way. What do you think that the fans' overall feeling are of Trent Richardson, especially after what happened last week?
Yeah.
That could have been a momentum changer. And say what you will, momentum wins and loses games. That could have been a huge, huge momentum changer. Did the Indianapolis Colts make a mistake picking up Trent Richardson and losing a first-round pick?
Well, let me answer you first about the fans. The fans are impatient. They always are. They're ready to dump a guy. I mean, you know, on the Jersey Johnny Show, we're taking phone calls after a playoff win from callers wondering if the Colts can get away with cutting him in the offseason. The short answer is you wouldn't do that because of his cap number is so low. You might as well keep him. He's a serviceable back. The mistake, no, I'm not ready to say that was a mistake yet. I'd like to see him go through an offseason and see what their plan for him to use him long-term is. I see him as the guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield quite well. He, on that play that he fumbled, I wish I could get in his head and know what happened. I think he just lost concentration for a moment, put the ball on the ground. But he looked like he was going to break about 12 yards right there on that sweep, and it obviously did not work out. Mistake? No, because Cleveland played a bulk of the money. Yes, you'd like to not have given up a first-round pick for obvious reasons, but I'm not ready to say that he wasn't worth that first-round pick quite yet, and I know that's probably carrying a little bit of water for the home team here, but I just think that he can be a serviceable, if not featured back in the NFL. I think he's just got to find his niche, and this offensive line has to be remade for the type of runner he is. He needs wide holes. That much we've learned already. Donald Brown can slink through the narrow openings that are created for him by this offensive line, because they are there. But Trent Richardson has a harder time getting his a bit wider body through those holes, and I think that's his biggest issue. So if this interior line bulks up a bit, that's going to be to his benefit. So I want to wait one more offseason, and essentially one more season, before I say, boy, that was a blown mistake that was. I'm not quite ready to write him off yet, like some impatient fans are.
One more final question here about the Indianapolis Colts, and we'll briefly touch on the other games before we let you go. Pat McAfee, how can we get him in the Colts cheerleaders locker room, in the right locker room? I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that would like to have him in that locker room.
That's the question of the week, Tom. You know, I love Pat. You know, he's a great guy, and
sure.
He wants to be a member of this community. I hope things work out for him long term with the Indianapolis Colts, but it's funny you bring up Pat. I thought he could be a big key in last week's game. It turned out that punting was not much of a premium last week. I think the exact opposite this week. I think he can be a major player in whatever type of game we find ourselves in this evening, with rain, wind, whatever it winds up happening. Field position is going to be key. And if he can have a big boomstick night for himself this evening, he's going to go a long way to earning that next contract with the Colts.
Well, one more game going on this afternoon. The first game, if you will, the opener, the New Orleans Saints against Seattle. And I tell you what, a lot of people thought that the Eagles would be able to handle the Saints at home, and especially with the weather issues. Drew Brees, again, another quarterback out there that's made a name for himself and can win in the playoffs and has proven it. And we got the Seattle Seahawks, who has been a fantastic team. Make no mistake about it, even though it's been underneath the radar as far as teams maybe we've been watching and glued in on this weekend, the Saints in Seattle is a good game to watch, and watch out for those Seahawks.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. Seattle is, if there is a prohibitive favorite to go to the Super Bowl, it's probably Seattle. But don't sleep on New Orleans. I sure did last week. I got to admit, I really thought Drew Brees playing outside in the elements of Philadelphia would not only lose, I thought they may get blown out of the gym last week, and they hung right in there and did what you have to do to win a road playoff game. Stuck around on the end, kicked a field goal as time expired, moved on to the next week, and Philadelphia's, you know, looking at their genius coach Chip Kelly and asking what happened. I think New Orleans can keep this close. I don't know that they're going to be one of the teams to upset the home favorite this weekend. I think later today we're going to see Seattle advance to the NFC Championship game, just because that environment is crazy. I mean, I read yesterday that they're bringing in seismographs to see not only how loud the crowd is, but see if that crowd might even cause registered
earthquake
from their noise.
That's awesome. Well, we're certainly counting down to the Super Bowl. We're talking to Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan, the flagship station of the Colts Radio Network. We talked a little bit about the Colts and the Patriots. Obviously, we talked about San Diego and Denver. One more game, the 49ers and the Carolina Panthers. I like the Carolina Panthers in this game, and they're just darn scary. I would not be surprised to see the Carolina Panthers and the Indianapolis Colts in the Super Bowl this year.
No, I don't think anybody really would when you look at these two teams and how they're made up. This is, according to Vegas, the best game of the weekend. And you know what? I think I agree. I think this could be the game that we talk about on Monday and say, oh, my, can you believe? Yes, it was great the Colts won, but can you believe how Carolina took care of San Francisco and really it was maybe overshadowing a performance by potentially Andrew Luck or Philip Rivers or anybody else, but maybe this weekend's headline on Monday morning will be the, you know, the arrival of Cam Newton on the scene. He has played at times this season fantastic. I like the type of offense Carolina has going up against San Francisco's defense. They like to run. Key in this game is actually D'Angelo Williams. He's a type of back that likes to the old Edgerrin James style of running. He likes to go out and try to bust that 20-yard run. If he can do a couple of those against San Francisco and the Panthers can limit Frank Gore, I like Carolina in this game. But San Francisco going into the season was a favorite. If they have any kind of light switch that they can turn on and play even better than they did last week, they have an excellent shot to upset Carolina.
Well, real quickly, let's get your predictions for the AFC and NFC championship game. Mine is obviously going to be the Indianapolis Colts and the San Diego Chargers for the AFC and the NFC champion. Mine is going to be the Seattle Seahawks and the Carolina Panthers and the Super Bowl, as I just mentioned, Carolina Panthers and Indianapolis.
I like that. I think that's an interesting prediction, and I think that it's a very probable one. However, I think Seattle takes care of business, Carolina takes care of business, and we see the two home teams advance to the NFC Championship game. And, you know, I can't get past the home field advantage in Seattle. I like Seattle to advance to the Super Bowl in New York. Well, they will play the winner of Denver and Indianapolis, a matchup for the ages. It will be the highest-rated AFC Championship game in history. Andrew Luck goes to Denver, and the student upsets the master, and the Colts go to Seattle to play for the Super Bowl, or go to New York to play Seattle for the Super Bowl. And I tell you, that will be a great game. It's a rematch of a matchup that we saw in the regular season, and we saw the Colts win, so why not? Why can't we just say the Colts could run the table here the rest of the way and be Super Bowl champions? It's not out of the realm of possibility.
I think everybody is just scared to death to say the Colts are going to the Super Bowl. We don't want to say that. We haven't said it all year long. I've got a certain jersey that I wear on home games, and I wear a non-jersey on non-home games. I have certain ways I watch my game. And as the commercial says, it's only weird if it doesn't work. So I think we're just scared to death to say the Indianapolis Colts are going to the Super Bowl. But what a great victory it will be. Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan has joined us this morning to break down tonight's game. The big game, the New England Patriots versus your Indianapolis Colts out at Foxborough. Matt, real quickly, where can people find your work and your masterpieces? I know you and Jersey Johnny are on, and you guys will be breaking down the game on 1070 The Fan. Does that carry over to the Colts Network or just locally here?
Just locally. Actually, we're going to be on tomorrow from noon until 2, and we will break it all down. We'll hopefully be previewing the AFC Championship game between Indianapolis as we await to see who their opponent's going to be. But tonight, I am actually producing Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk, a gig I used to have years ago, and coming back to fill in for Bob Lovell and help him out tonight for all the fun around Indiana. So if you're out in your car tonight and you're not near a Colts radio network station, you can find Indiana Sports Talk on several stations around the state of Indiana as well. And we'll keep you up to date on the Colts game as well as we go through the evening, as well as high school basketball, college basketball, the NBA, and this big Colts game.
Well, absolutely. And I tell you what a great honor that is to work with Bob Lovell, just a legend in radio broadcast sports here in the state of Indiana. Well, can people follow you on social media, or are you just kind of on the air and that's where they get you at?
I am on Twitter. I think I'm very funny, which is very important when you're on social media.
Hey,
my
gotta
Twitter
be funny.
My Twitter handle is @HicksM05. @HicksM05.
All right, Matt. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Go Colts, and we'll be talking about a Colts victory soon, I hope.
Sounds good, Tom. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you. Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan, the flagship station for the Colts Radio Network, obviously a major part of local sports talk here in the Indianapolis market. There we go. My name's Saul Mark with El Presidente. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. with Jimmy Cavanaugh, Evan Williams, and $2 Bill Josh going to be breaking down some college hoops. And also, in the next hour, we got 1 hour of nothing but playoff talk. Keep it right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Open Gangnam Style.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
In nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans. When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark Wiesel, Presidente. Again, I hope everybody's all sold out. Thank you so much, Mr. Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan, the flagship station of the Colts Radio Network, talking about that big game today out at Foxborough, and that's the Colts and the Patriots. But right now, time to shift some gears a little bit, talk some college hoops. College is back. College Saturday is back with College Hoops, and as we do every year, we start early, and we stay with you all the way through March when it comes to College Hoops. And just the same thing like we did with college football, we are with you through every single game. Joining me right now is Mr. Evan Williams from up at Purdue University at $2 Bill. Josh, we're still standing by for Jimmy Cavanaugh, no longer Jimmy the intern, as he has graduated college. And so we're just going to call him Jimmy Cavanaugh, but he will be calling here in just a moment. But Evan Williams from up at Boilerland, are you with us, sir?
I'm here, Tom. It's good to be back on the show.
Hey man, I tell you what, it's good to have you back. I know that you haven't been on for a while. Are you all thawed out, sir?
Sorry, Tommy, Evan, you cut out really quick. What'd you say?
I am so sorry. I said, are you thawed out?
I am. Yeah, it's been a little cold, but finally moving again.
What a crazy, crazy week. As I said in my opening monologue, my pipes froze, and I was talking to Matt about that also. My pipes froze, but fortunately, it just kind of thawed out naturally. Nothing burst or anything like that. And we were among the fortunate ones that kept their power here. And also, good friend of the show and my partner in crime. When he doesn't pull as many jobs with me as he used to, but what? $2 Bill. Josh, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. It is good to be back on your show, Tom. It's been way too long.
Man, tell me about it. Everybody's neglecting me. I've been having to resort to other people. No, I'm just kidding. Well, guys, it's College Saturday. College basketball is here. And then we're going to be talking college basketball every week and up until March. And, of course, we've been talking a little bit about college hoops. But now that football is over, it is exclusive. College Saturday means college hoops. So let's jump right into it. Tomorrow, Evan,
Purdue and the Cornhuskers. Nebraska, good game, good matchup. Let's hope that the Purdue Boilermakers have a better season basketball-wise than they did football-wise. Evan, when you look at this game, this matchup between Nebraska and Purdue tomorrow, what are some of the things that stand out to you? Obviously, you're coming in at 10-5, and they're at Mackey Arena, and the Nebraska Cornhuskers are at 8-7. A tough team, but a team I think Purdue really can handle if they come in and play Purdue basketball.
Yeah, Tom, you know, this Nebraska team, they're much improved from last year, but I still think this is a game Purdue should win, and, you know, being at home is a big advantage for Purdue, obviously. Mackey Arena, a great place to play for the Boilers. Something that, moving forward, if Purdue wants to have a chance to make the NCAA tournament, is they have to get better play, more consistent play out of their big men, A.J. Hammonds and Jay Simpson. They've been very inconsistent throughout this year. A.J. Hammonds, big winner against Ohio State, puts up 18 points, 16 rebounds, 5 block shots. A couple days ago against Minnesota, 7 points, 1 rebound, no blocks. I'm not going to blame all of that on him. I think the guards also have to do a much better job of getting him the ball and getting him involved early. You know, against Minnesota, they didn't really get involved in the first half at all. So, but we have to see more consistent play from the big man if Purdue wants to have any success this season, because they're that big of a part of the team this year. You know, Hammonds and Simpson, you know, they're big guys. They have potential to be two of the best big men in the conference. But, you know, we have to get Purdue has to do a better job of getting them the ball, and then they have to, you know, play with more consistency and avoid foul trouble.
I don't know that I can word it any better. The word consistency is the key thing. And, Josh, we look at Matt Painter. Great coach, has really established a good team up there in West Lafayette. But what does Matt Painter have to do this year, Josh, to keep the Purdue Boilermakers on point, if you will, and do exactly as Evan said, and play with more consistency?
Well, the first thing he needs to do, and I don't know if anybody else knows this, nobody in Indiana is talking about college basketball. So first of all, you have to make him relevant enough so that people will talk about him. And then they got to get a more consistent inside game. But, you know, I work at a warehouse with like 300 guys, and I never hear anybody talking college basketball. It's all NBA, NFL, even a little bit of hockey. I haven't heard a single person bring up college basketball this year.
Well, that's because it's, you know, it's just that time of year. It's kind of like the balance. Even though we've been talking college hoops, our focus has been on football. So, you know, this year, now it's time. I think now that the BS, you guys, can both of you guys give me an amen? There is no more BCS. We're not going to ever talk about the BCS games and the BCS bowl games ever again, because we have what's called playoffs. Don't talk to me about playoffs. Well, we are going to talk about the playoffs in football season later this year. Evan, real quickly, and we'll get back on point here, but I had to do that. Amen. No more BCS. What are your thoughts?
I think it's great, Tom. I think we're finally going to get a true national championship once this playoff system gets in place.
Well, you know, I don't want to dog the Purdue Boilermakers enough. The national media has done it enough. But can you tell me exactly what Purdue has to do next year to not be as embarrassed this year, next year, in football as they were this year? And then we'll get back into basketball. But what happened up there in West Lafayette on the football field? You guys were playing like the Indiana Hoosiers, and that is comical in one point, just to say that. But on the other point of it, it's got to be heart-wrenching to see your team just crumble underneath a new leadership. I don't think that he'll get fired, but something has to happen.
Yeah, obviously very disappointing season, especially this being my last year as a student, to see that kind of football being played. But there was a lot of things that went wrong this year. First off, Purdue had a really tough schedule. Not that that's any excuse, but, you know, that didn't help the cause at all. You know, a new coaching staff, there's always going to be issues there coming in with, players recruited by another coaching staff. I really don't believe that the upperclassmen completely bought into the system, and I think that had a lot to do with it. I don't know if the leadership was necessarily there. So I think moving forward, though, I think Purdue will see improvements each year. I wouldn't expect them to have an Auburn kind of turnaround, go 11-1, and make a run at a national championship next year. But I do see improvement because I think now more players that are being recruited by this coaching staff will be involved. Purdue played a lot of underclassmen this year, a lot of freshmen, redshirt freshmen saw playing time and saw significant playing time. So I think moving forward that, it's just going to be, if these guys can buy into the system, I think we'll see improvements every year.
Well, we're going to get back into college hoops here, and it is College Saturday. The hoops are in full force, and as we get ready for March, we're standing by for Jimmy Kavanaugh, and I know he's got a lot of things going on right now, but we'll try to catch him here in just a moment. But I want to go ahead and get into this Indiana conversation. Josh, Indiana, Penn State, right after the show today. So, guys, when you're done listening to the show, go right ahead on over to the, I believe it's on the Big Ten Network. Indiana, Penn State, going to be a good game, good matchup. I was really disappointed, Josh, when I watched Indiana play Michigan State. I wasn't really so much disappointed with the loss because that was somewhat expected. I was disappointed with their performance, I guess, against a team of the caliber of Michigan State, but at the same time, with the talent that IU has this year, they should not have played that bad against Michigan State, Josh.
Well, Tom, welcome to reality, Indiana Hoosier fans. You wanted Tom Crean 5 years, 6, 7 years ago, however long it was, Crean basketball looks like. When you take away Dwayne Wade, when you take away Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo, this is what Tom Crean basketball looks like. Why do you think Marquette let him walk out the door so easy? So, Tom, I completely disagree. Indiana fans, you're getting exactly what you said you wanted. You wanted Tom Crean? You got him. Matt Painter's a much better coach than Tom Crean could ever hope to be.
They are. He is who we thought he was, huh? You know what? I will disagree with you on some aspects of it. Come on now, Tom Crean has the ability to recruit. Tom Crean has the ability to get some good key players. Evan, as you look at this game, Indiana against Penn State, and you look at that game against Michigan State in the Big Ten, and if you're going to play in March, Indiana has to play better than they did against Michigan State.
Definitely, Tom. I mean, I just don't know what it is about this IU team because you're right. They do have a lot of talent on this team. It may be young talent, but there is a lot of talent. Like you said, Tom Crean has brought in a lot of nationally recruited players, high recruits. But, besides Noah Vonleh and Yogi Ferrell, this team just really hasn't impressed me. Will Sheehy, he's not a starting, he's not a starter. He's a great six-man, great energy guy off the bench, but he's not the guy. I haven't really been impressed with Jeremy Hollowell. He's kind of, disappeared at times this year. I haven't really seen as much development out of, Hunter Mascara-Perea as I thought there'd be at this point in his career. The freshmen, they've played pretty solid. Vonleh and Troy Williams, they've been solid contributors this year. But, this team, I just think that, the combination of being young and, Yogi and, Vonleh can't do it all sort of thing. And it's kind of puzzling because of how much talent there is on this team. But, I agree with Josh, and I think, we're kind of seeing Tom Crean be exposed, when he doesn't have, Cody Zeller, Victor Oladipo, those guys like Christian Watford and Jordan Holes, all those guys who could score, like they could. I think, we're kind of seeing some of Tom Crean's flaws as a coach when he doesn't have as much talent on the floor.
Well, here's my thing. I guess where I'm at with this whole deal with IU and I guess Purdue both. We look at Matt, Josh, you want to talk about Matt Painter, and then you want to talk about Matt Painter being a better coach than Tom Crean. Josh, let me ask you this. When you look at this year alone and you look at Big Ten conference wins and losses, where's the comparison at between Matt Painter and Coach Crean if we're only talking about wins and losses?
Where's the comparison at? Matt Painter has almost identical record. But Tom Crean has an offensive seven. There's not near as much talent on the Purdue roster as there is on the IU roster. So if you go from a talent level, Matt Painter's out-coaching Tom Crean. So if you could take the same less talented team and get the same record, you got to be better coach. Am I wrong, Evan?
No, Josh, I agree with that for sure.
Well, certainly we're going to debate that maybe for a while yet. Who's the better coach, Matt Painter or Tom Crean? Obviously, Matt Painter's did some great things for Purdue, but let's not take away that this is probably one of the most athletic teams that IU has ever seen. So let's not be so quick to say that Tom Crean is a worse coach than Matt Painter. And at the end of the year, who's going to be there in March? Maybe both of them. But who's going to go deeper in March? At this point, if I was to put my money on it, and not just because I'm an IU alumni and because I'm rooting for IU, and obviously right after this show I'm going to be watching the IU game as a fan. But not just for that reason. I think IU has the talent to go much deeper in March, Evan and Josh, than Purdue does. And Evan, what are your thoughts on that?
I can't agree with you, Tom. I do think both of these teams have a shot to make the tournament, but I don't necessarily see IU get farther. I don't think the players that they returned with their experience, I don't think that really does anything. Like I said, I don't think Sheehy's the guy. I think he's a solid, six man coming off the bench energy guy, but I don't think he's a star, in the starting lineup. And I think Purdue, like I said earlier, if they can get consistent play out of A.J. Hammonds and Jay Simpson, this could be a really talented team. And they played that first Big Ten game against Ohio State. They lost by 9 points or so, but it was actually a 2 or 3 point game at the end, obviously with free throws becoming, stretching the score out. They nearly beat Ohio State, and Ohio State's got a great team this year. So I think Purdue, if they can get consistent play out of their big guys, I think this is a real team that could be, really good.
All right, Josh, real quickly, and then we'll move on to some other teams and some other games. But when you look at side-by-side, IU and Purdue going deeper into March, who goes deeper, IU or Purdue?
I'm going to give you kind of a complicated answer. I'm going to refuse to answer that question until a couple of weeks later, because if you ask me right now, neither IU, Purdue, or Butler is going to the tournament.
Did you say IU, Purdue, or Butler's not going to the tournament? Now, I'll agree with you on Butler. Certainly, they've got a lot of changes going on there, and obviously that's I'll agree with you on Butler for a lot of reasons, but I don't know. So you're saying that Indiana won't be represented by the Big Ten in the tournament?
That's what I'm saying right now. Unless IU and Purdue get some work done, I think Indiana as a whole, Notre Dame, ISU, Butler, Purdue, IU all stay home.
Josh, today, IU against Penn State, who wins?
Penn State.
Evan, tomorrow, Purdue against Nebraska. Who wins?
I think Purdue gets it together and blows them out.
There you go, guys. So let's start talking about some other teams in the Big Ten. And let's start talking about March. So let's start at least forming our discussion for March. Last night, I watched a really good game between Wright State and Valpo in the Horizon League. And we look at the Horizon League. Obviously, that's where Butler used to be. And guys, as we're talking about Butler and changes, they're in a completely different league, and the competition factor is a lot greater. And slightly touching on the football factor, Evan, that you said that the schedule was – very, very strong in the aspect that they had some tough teams to beat. Here's the thing. When you win, you get tough teams because you're winning. So that is the trade-off. If you win, you get tough teams. That is why Butler is no longer in the Horizon League. So the Horizon League is Valpo and Wright State. Butler is no longer in that league in so many ways. Why? Because they won. They won games. They went to the Final Four. They went to the championship games. That's what happens when you win. But the Horizon League, last night, great game, Wright State against Valpo. But when you look at the Horizon League this year, going into March, what are some of your thoughts? Evan, go ahead.
So I'm going to be completely honest. I haven't seen much of the Horizon League this year.
I sent you a text to do some show prep. I said we're going to talk some college hoops. You get a big fat F on your pop quiz, sir. Now, if I was one of your professors and I would tell you that you're going to be quizzed on something, would you not study on that, sir?
That's true, Tom. I'm not making excuses, but I've just moved back to Purdue a couple days ago. I've been busy. Not an excuse, but I guess
It's cool. I understand, man. Your dog ate your homework. I just couldn't resist that. But, no, I totally get that. Obviously, we're early in the season. I didn't know if you had any thoughts on that at all. So we're going to let you off the hot seat there. I'm just kidding with you. Now, Josh, Horizon League, you had the same notes that I gave Evan. So Horizon League, Valpo, right, last night, or who's coming out of the Horizon League? What are your thoughts? And the only reason I'm bringing up the Horizon League is because of Butler not being in there anymore. And also, I was watching the Wright State Valpo game last night. Josh?
Well, Evan, I'm going to get enough with you, Tom. I haven't considered the Horizon League worth checking out yet. I might check out a little bit of their conference tournament, but that'll be about it.
You both get big Fs today on Horizon League. All right, let's go ahead. Let's move back to some easy softballs. We'll stop throwing the fastballs. It's too early in this season. Should we talk any other division but the Big Ten? Let's talk about Minnesota and Michigan State. Obviously, Tom Izzo, great coach. And maybe we want to still talk about that IU-Michigan State game, guys. But Michigan State has been plagued with injuries. Today, the Spartans go gopher hunting right after the IU game, and then right after that we get into some football. Guys, it's going to be a great day of sports. But, Evan, this is Big Ten, so hopefully everybody can join with me. No, I'm really just giving you a hard time. But, Evan, Minnesota, Michigan State's been plagued with some injuries, but Tom Izzo is that kind of a coach that can get those kind of a wins.
Yeah, you know, Minnesota, they're a pretty good team this year. They're very athletic, and I'm really surprised at, you know, how well they're doing under, you know, Richard Pitino. But this Michigan State team, as long as they can stay healthy, they're my pick to win the national championship. I think, you know, they just have an all-around, you know, lineup that can get it done. They have Keith Appling, a great point guard, Gary Harris, an unbelievable shooting guard, you know, an athletic Brandon Dawson, the small forward, Adrian Payne, you know, I think one of the best, you know, big men in the country right now. And I watched the game the other night with Michigan State and Ohio State, and I couldn't believe how well, you know, they really, obviously went to overtime and everything, but they were really putting the hurt on Ohio State there for a while. And I think this team is just very, very good, very talented. And, you know, if they're cutting the nets down at the end of the year, I'm not going to be surprised.
Josh, we look at Tom Izzo and the Michigan State team, and we look at this game between the Michigan State Spartans and the Minnesota Gophers. What are some of the keys to that game, and what are you seeing out of Tom Izzo's team this year?
Well, I think it's sorry, I'm having a bit of problem hearing you, Tom. I think you're asking me about the Michigan State-Minnesota game. I think Minnesota's starting to beat Michigan State. I do agree the national champion is going to come out of the Big Ten, but pump your brakes on Michigan State there, Evan. Do not discount the Wisconsin Badgers. You still play that good defense, but now they could score 80 points a ball game.
Well, guys, let's talk about the Big Ten, and let's do a little early laydown, if you will, foundational speaking. We look at Ohio State. We look at Wisconsin. Certainly Michigan State. IU, I think, is going to be there in March. And, you know, honestly, I still think Purdue's going to be there, Ohio State. We're going to have a good representation. I am not so convinced about Iowa. I'm not so convinced about Michigan. I'm really not convinced about Northwestern. But let me ask you this, Evan. If you was to look at any of the teams in the big league right now, could you say, hey, wow, didn't see that coming, did not know they were going to be playing in March, which one of those teams would it be?
Well, I don't know so much about which team will be playing in March, but I'm extremely surprised about Michigan and how I do not see them playing in March now. I'm completely surprised with them. I was expecting them to be, you know, top three team in the Big Ten again this year. Obviously, losing Mitch McGarry to injury for the season, that's, you know, a huge blow, and I think that was kind of the dagger that kind of did it for this season. You know, I'm not going to completely write them off yet, but that's a really big loss for them. You know, point guard Derek Walton, I don't think he's played, you know, up to his expectations. You know, he's a freshman still, and, you know, obviously he wasn't going to come in and be Trey Burke, but he was a very highly rated player coming out of high school, and I haven't seen, you know, him, you know, develop as well as people probably had thought he would. And then, you know, Glenn Robinson III and Nick Stauskas, they've been kind of the guys who have been expected, you know, pick up that workload from, you know, Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr., and they just haven't done it. You know, I don't think Glenn Robinson's done that great of a job of, you know, kind of being the man. I think he's too passive at times. He's got all the potential and talent to be, you know, an unbelievable player, but, you know, he really has to want it, and I think he has to, you know, take a better job of do a better job of taking, you know, control of games and being the man.
Josh, I want to talk with you a little bit about as we look toward and we're laying this foundation toward March. And talk a little bit here while we still got some time, guys. Let's talk a little bit about the Big 12. I like both K-State and the Jayhawks both, and they match up today at 2:00. Josh, when you see those two play, and believe me, we always see the Jayhawks ready to go in March, but K-State, I think, also is a very, very key team. We look at this game today. What are some of the things you're looking at?
Well, it is a very key game. You got Andrew Wiggins and the Kansas Jayhawks, and you got the Kansas State Wildcats. They're the second and third best team in the Big 12, as neither team is as good as the Iowa State Cyclones are. And personally, I think Andrew Wiggins is a bit overrated. I'm kind of anxious to see what you and Evan think, but I'm kind of tired of hearing about ESPN's freshman focus. The only one who's really impressed me has been Tyler Enos at Syracuse and Julius Randle at Kentucky a little bit. I'm not that impressed with Andrew Wiggins. I personally think he's kind of lazy and the reason Kansas won't go very far in March.
Evan, go ahead. What are your thoughts? As we look at the Jayhawks, every year we talk about the Jayhawks being there. Certainly they're one of the staples in March. But we look at K-State and we look at the Cyclones. I think this is a great matchup for a game, but I think this tells us a lot, gives us a little bit of a peek into the crystal ball of March, if you will, of these two teams. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Kansas, they've had some growing pains this season, but I think by March they'll be ready, and this will be a team that can contend. They've got all the pieces there. It's just whether they can come together and put them all together at the right time. Andrew Wiggins, he's an absolute amazing talent. I don't necessarily think he's overrated. I think he might have been overhyped. I think that's kind of the media today, especially with ESPN and, you know, all these recruiting sites. I think they kind of overhyped him a little much because he is still – he's very raw, you know, as far as his body goes. He's very thin. I think when he grows into his body, you know, puts on that weight, you know, gets up to, you know, 220, 225 pounds, this kid's going to be a stud. And he's got it – but he is too passive at times. I think he defers the ball too much. I think he needs to really just take control and take over games, and he has all the talent and ability to do that, just whether or not he – takes that and goes with it. But I do think this Kansas team will be ready come March. Bill Self, great coach, obviously. You know, they've got another great freshman, Joel Embiid, who's probably going to be a top 10 pick in this draft if he comes out. You know, another talented freshman, Wayden Selden, Perry Ellis, sophomore. You know, this is a very talented team. You know, they've got a lot of young talent on this team. And I think come March, this team will be ready.
Well, as we continue to talk about our crystal ball of March, if you will, let's talk about our good buddy Steve Alford, who's made a transition out to L.A., out to sunny California, to the UCLA Bruins. They take on the Arizona Sun Devils tomorrow, guys, tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, if you could stay up and watch it out there at Pauley Arena. Josh, Steve Alford at UCLA, are we going to see him in March? Well, maybe we've lost Josh. Okay, we'll go back. Josh, are you there?
Yeah. One of the storylines in March is going to be Steve Alford in the UCLA Bruins. And Evan and Tom, I don't know if you had a chance to see UCLA yet, but Bryce Alford, where did this kid go to high school, and why didn't nobody know about this kid coming out of high school? This kid's phenomenal. And I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say Bryce Alford will be the reason the UCLA Bruins reach the Final Four in March.
Well, you know why nobody's talked about him. Go ahead, Evan. I'll let you go ahead and address that, and then I will give my opinion as to why nobody's talked about Bryce Alford.
Yeah, Alford wasn't highly recruited coming out of high school. I don't know why, because he's really been a big surprise this year, and I think that's great to see, you know, someone – who wasn't a highly recruited player, kind of like a Trey Burke coming in and making a big impact as a freshman. Obviously, not as big of an impact as Trey Burke had, but, what helps is that there's a lot of talent on this UCLA team. I think for a couple of years they've really been underperforming greatly with the talent level they have, but this team, there's a lot of really good athletes and good players. You know, you have Kyle Anderson, a former top three player in the country coming out of high school, on this team. You've got Jordan Adams, a great, you know, guard on this team. You have the Ware twins, a lot of experience now, older guys, big men. Zach Levine, another great freshman on this team. I think Alford's done a great job with this talent, and he's gotten them to perform up to their level and up to their potential, and I think this team is going to make a big run in March.
Well, I do, and the reason why... Guys, the reason why we're not talking about Bryce Alford is because he's not related to Steve Alford. Am I wrong about that, Josh?
I'm pretty sure that Bryce Alford is his son.
It's not his son, is it?
It's his son.
Oh, wow. See, I'm going to sad sack myself on the show. I actually thought it wasn't his son. Because we're just now hearing about him. I guess that's why there again, all right, Josh, we're going to put you back on the hot seat here. Why weren't we talking about Bryce Alford all this time?
I'm not entirely sure why we weren't talking about Bryce Alford, and Evan helped me out here, but I even believe that Steve Alford's other son's also on the UCLA roster this year, and it's kind of killing me that they're not at IU, but good job for Bryce and Steve. But Evan, is his other son also a Bruin?
Yes, Corey. He's a redshirt sophomore.
Well, one way to get a scholarship at UCLA is have your dad be the coach, right? Unbelievable. Guys, Josh, I'm gonna give you props here on that. Thank you for bringing him up. We'll be following him here on the show. I've heard about him. Now they're just now starting to talk about him on ESPN and stuff, but I have never heard anybody say that's Steve Alford's son, and I never knew that he had another redshirt sophomore. Wow, guys, trivia game on the balance today. Unbelievable. Well, guess what? You stumped me once, but you'll never stump me again. All right, guys, it's about time to wrap that up. We're wrapping up here on College Hoops. We're running just a little bit late. Jason Hammer's going to be joining us here in just a little bit here to talk some NFL. Evan, I hope that you'll take some time to come with us throughout the year and certainly as we get closer to March. But, Evan, as you look at either Purdue, IU, Big Ten, whatever it is, as we lay our foundation and begin to look into our crystal ball in March, what are some of the things that you're seeing that stands out to you that, hey, guys, look out for this. Look out for this team. Look out for this player. This is what's going to happen as we lay our foundation in March, Evan.
Well, Tom, currently I think there's three Big Ten teams that can make a Final Four run, and these guys can also contend for a national championship. Obviously, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. three very talented teams, three very well-coached teams with a good combination of youth and experience. I think all three of these teams are going to make a significant run come March, and I think this is the year that the Big Ten gets a national championship.
Quickly, we got to get on to some NFL talk. We have talked some college hoops way too long today, and we have just really kind of pushed the envelope a little bit today. So go ahead, real quickly, Josh, laying the foundation in March, what are some of your thoughts?
Look, for Wichita State to enter March Madness undefeated, the first time that will have happened since Temple did. St. Joseph did it early in the 2000s, and don't be surprised if Wichita State cuts the nets down at the end of March, and finally there's another undefeated team since the 78 Hoosiers.
All right, guys, that's got to do it. Real quickly, Evan, where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
You can follow me on Twitter at Evan_Williams25, and you can see all my rants about sports, life, and just being a college student.
All right, guys, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Evan, do you want to stay around and talk some football, or do you got to go?
I got to get going, Tom. Thanks for having me on the show today.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Evan Williams, our resident guy up in Purdue University, talking some college hoops. We could talk college hoops all day long. It's just like NFL. But unfortunately, we have got to move on because it's the playoffs. We'll talk to me about playoffs. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network myself. Dollar Bill Josh. We're going to be breaking down this week's games on the NFL playoffs. Stand by. Right back.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Tom Tebow.
Tom Tebow.
That's right. Tom Tebow. Heisman Trophy winner and starting quarterback from the national champion Crocodiles of the University of the Peninsula State just below the state of Georgia.
Hey, Rusty. You know, someone has to fill my shoes next year with the Crocodiles of the University of the Peninsula State just below Georgia. Are you that someone?
Who, me? That sounds good. Y'all got a slut dungeon?
Ah, you so damn handsome. Wait, I can't be feeling this.
It's time for...
Okay, Elizabeth, we are in the second week of the NFL playoffs. Last week.
How did I do, Daddy?
Do you really want to know?
Is it that bad?
worst week ever. You went 1-3.
Oh, seriously, Daddy? You made me the worst goal ever.
I didn't make you. You're the one who picked them all, so.
Well, I didn't care. I'm busted.
Okay, well, and then to fill in the listeners, bowl season ended, and of the 35 bowl games, you went 20-15. Not great, but not too bad. So, overall for the season, that brings your record to 104-78. So, a little bit of a smack in the face last week, but hey, we move on. You ready to go?
Yeah, okay, buddy.
All right, let's start this off. On Saturday in the NFC, early game, we have the New Orleans Saints or the Seattle Seahawks. Who do you go with?
Seattle Seahawks.
The Seattle Seahawks. Late game in the AFC. On Saturday, we have the Indianapolis Colts or the New England Patriots. Who do you go with?
Indianapolis Colts.
You're going to go with the Indianapolis Colts on that one.
Yeehaw, game.
Moving on to Sunday, first game, we have the San Francisco 49ers against the Carolina Panthers. Who do you go with?
San Francisco 49ers.
And finally, on Sunday, in the AFC, we have the San Diego Chargers at the Denver Broncos. Who do you go with?
Denver Broncos.
And who picked those?
Elizabeth the Greek. Make sure to like me on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente, and we do this every year. We get ready for our big Super Bowl special that we'll be doing on Super Bowl Sunday. But we got to get to the Super Bowl first. We got to find out who we're talking about. And helping us break down the playoff games today is Mr. $2 Bill Josh, who's always with us around playoff time. My partner in crime, my friend, $2 Bill Josh, it's playoffs. We've got the Colts. We've got the Broncos, the Chargers, the Panthers, the 49ers, the Seahawks. And you know what? It's playoffs. And let's talk playoffs. Don't talk to me about playoffs. Playoffs. I know everybody gets tired to be saying that, but that's got to be the most classic playoff lead-in that we have ever had. And you know, I want to save the very best game for last, and that's obviously going to be our Indianapolis Colts versus the New England Patriots. We are going to talk about that a little bit later, but let's talk about the first game on the agenda today. Mr. $2 Bill Josh, the NFL playoffs are here. And so as you look at today's games, and we'll get into the Colts here in just a moment, but we look at today's game, the Saints and the Seahawks, and we look at the Colts and the Patriots. Let's talk a little bit about those Saints and the Seahawks. The Saints took care of business out there in a very, very, very cold Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of people thought Drew Brees couldn't play in the cold, and a lot of people kind of discounted Drew Brees. And we look at the Seahawks, and we look at the Saints. Maybe they are who we thought they were, but let's talk about those two teams today. 4:35 today, the fun begins. So you got IU Penn State, then you got Minnesota, Michigan State, and then you got Saints Seahawks, and then you got Colts Patriots. What a day of sports that we have today, Josh.
It's absolutely an amazing day of sports. You scared me for a minute, Tom, when you were naming all the playoff teams and thought you were going to go Howard Dean and go yeehaw for a minute. But moving on quick today.
Go ahead.
We're talking about the Saints and Seahawks. You got Russell Power to the little people Wilson. As a guy listed at 5'10", there's no way on earth he's 5'10". I'd say he's more like 5'8". And you also got Drew Brees. He's another quarterback short of 6 foot tall. This game today, it's for all you diehard football traditionalists who every year come draft time say you got to find a quarterback who's 6'4", 6'5", and quarterbacks under 6 foot tall can't play. You want to tell that to Russell Wilson or Drew Brees? They don't belong in the NFL. I didn't think anybody did. Should be a great game, Tom.
Tell you what, I honestly thought we were going to be talking about a Seattle Seahawks and a Philadelphia Eagle game today. I honestly did. So let me ask you this: let's rewind a little bit. We look at that Eagles game at home, Lincoln Financial Field, all the advantages to them. Why couldn't the Philadelphia Eagles make it happen, especially with everything that they've been able to do this year?
Well, that was an absolute great game. It was a great nightcap to the game to the Colts last Saturday night. Bottom line came down to they didn't execute in the fourth quarter. New Orleans did. They kicked field goal, and the better team won that day. Chip Kelly had a great year the first year at the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Chip and Ed Kratz, keep your head up. You guys will be back next year.
So, has the Philadelphia Eagles found their quarterback?
They've absolutely found their quarterback. Who would have thought the Philadelphia Eagles would have to go get a West Coast boy to play to be their quarterback?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Where's Michael Vick go next year, or does he retire?
Where does he go? Look for him to go to, may I say, Tennessee to play for whoever their new coach might be.
We don't know. I wish we had time to get into some coaching, but we ran so far behind. But why did Tennessee take so long in firing their coach?
Well, they wanted to make some staff changes, and for once an NFL coach stood on principle and said, you want me to coach the team? You let me coach the team my way. They told him to make the changes. He said, no, Mike Munchak, you earned my respect for standing on principle.
All right, let's talk about the game today. 4:35 on Fox, the Saints versus the Seahawks. Josh, break it down for us.
Seattle is by far the loudest stadium in the NFL. Russell Wilson's 15-1 at home. They've already beaten the Saints badly this year. Drew Brees is on the road to the playoffs again. He got his first road playoff win last Saturday night. Drew, you're not going to get number two today. Seattle 45, New Orleans 17.
So let me ask you this. When we look at Drew Brees and we look at the Saints and the ride they have, so you're saying that the ride ends today. What mistakes is the Saints going to happen to that? You know, Matt Hicks was talking about that he felt that the home earlier today, he felt that the home teams go to work and make it happen. And we'll get into kind of our picks here in just a moment, because I think completely different. I think that the Saints win today against the Seahawks. And I tell you why, because Drew Brees showed me that he's still – here's the thing. The Seattle Seahawks have had a great ride. But I think experience in the playoffs wins over the Seahawks today with the Saints. I think the Saints absolutely take care of business because they're on a mission and they have a tunnel vision, and that's New York City in February.
Well, you're right. The Saints do have more experience than the Seahawks, but the Seahawks have the biggest, baddest defensive secondary in the entire National Football League. Those are four of the baddest guys on the planet. And if I was a New Orleans receiver, I wouldn't want to have to go up against any one of them. And I think that's going to make the difference in the football game today. Seattle's just bigger, badder, and has a nastier attitude than the Saints.
All right, so you look at the spread, and you look at the Saints and the Seahawks. What's your over under the spread, and what's your pick?
I pick way over the spread, and I'm sticking with my pick, Seattle 45, the Saints 17.
45-17? Is that what you said?
45-17, and I don't really think it'll be that close to a football game.
Wow, you actually think that the Seahawks are going to beat the Saints 45-17?
They've already blown them out once in Seattle this year, and now it's a playoff game, and it's in the Colts, so I don't see any reason why they want to blow them out again.
Josh, I have to disagree with you. I wish I had time to get into that with you, but certainly I'll agree with you. It might be. Oh, if you want to talk about over and under, I think certainly the Saints go over the spread on this, but not It's not going to be that big of a blowout. And you might be right about the Seahawks winning. It isn't going to be 45-17. It's going to be more like 32-28. It's going to be a great game. Another good game. Let's go ahead and talk about it. We've been teasing it enough. It's the Colts. It's the Patriots. It's your Indianapolis Colts, my minions. Andrew Luck against Tom Brady. Our arch nemesis. Maybe not as big of a rivalry as it was when it was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. But it's Foxborough. It's the playoffs. And I tell you what, it gives me goosebumps just talking about it. Let's start with the Patriots. The Patriots. And you know what? The spread in that game is 50. Over under, a lot of people say under 50, obviously. I'm going way under 50. I think this is going to be a defensive game. You think about Bill Belichick and the Patriots and Tom Brady. Their main objective is, no matter what, stop Andrew Luck. So their defensive game is going to be on point. As I mentioned earlier with Matt Hicks, really, for the most part, Tom Brady passes the ball in short increments, less than 9 yards, probably closer to 40% of his throws down the middle, less than 9 yards. We have to stop that, but really the key point is stopping Tom Brady for the Colts. Mathis' job today, stop Tom Brady no matter what. So both defenses are coming to battle, and I think that both teams have really just honed in on their defense. We're going to see a low-scoring game. That spread in Vegas of 50 is way out of whack, and a lot of people will disagree with me on this because of how much Andrew likes to run and how much Tom Brady likes to pass and how well Andrew Luck can pass. But the thing is, we have to play 60 minutes, not 30 minutes, but 60 minutes of football to beat the Patriots, and Andrew Luck obviously has to get the work done in the running game. It comes down to Donald Brown. So he's not going to be passing a lot at Foxborough today. So it's going to be a defensive game, and it's going to be a very, very tight game. That spread of 50 is way out of whack.
I would agree that the spread might be a little out of whack. Let me give you two stats. It took Peyton Manning 6 years to win a playoff game. Andrew Luck did in his second year. Peyton Manning never won a postseason game in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Andrew Luck's going to do it in year number two. Here's why. Hernandez, Gronkowski, Dobson are all out on the offensive side of the ball for the Patriots. They also just lost a linebacker earlier this week. They also don't have Vince Wilfork. And Tom, if I may go so as far as to say, then the reason the national media are hyping the New England Patriots up is because they can see reality. They just don't want to admit reality. They can see the Colts are going to go into Foxborough and win today. So they're hoping if they talk about the Patriots winning enough that they can get the Colts to start doubting they can win, and maybe they can give an assist to the New England Patriots. But I really don't see it happening. I think it's going to be a great game, and Colts are going to win a last-second field goal.
I asked you the same question I asked Matt Hickney, the fan, the flagship station of the Colts Radio Network, and Matt said it's too early to make that decision. And I want Michelle to go ahead and put this question up. If Andrew Luck wins in Foxborough, wins at New England today, and San Diego beats the Broncos at home, if that happens, is Andrew Luck a better quarterback in legacy when the story's written and done, when they're both retired and they go to the Hall of Fame? Obviously, we know both of them are headed that way. Certainly, we would think that Andrew Luck is headed that way based on what we know now, very, very early. But is Andrew Luck a better quarterback than Peyton Manning?
Yes, without a doubt. Peyton Manning could not have rallied from 28 down to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and it all comes down to the fact Andrew Luck has legs you can run the football with. Have you ever seen Peyton Manning try to run the football? It's like an ostrich trying to fly. Just ain't going to happen.
Now, come on. Andrew Luck's a little awkward himself. You know, maybe we were trained so well here in Indianapolis. When our quarterback takes off running, all we want to do is cover our eyes. So, yeah, you're right. Peyton Manning's not a runner, that's for sure. Well, let's talk about Peyton Manning and the San Diego Chargers. I mean, really, that's probably a can you imagine what's going on out there in Mile High? I tell you what, the Chargers are pumped. They are stoked. Philip Rivers, like him or not like him, he's getting the job done out there in San Diego without Dwight Freeney. I love Dwight Freeney. I miss him a lot here in Indianapolis, and I wish him a speedy recovery. But obviously, he didn't make an impact there with the San Diego Chargers this year, as a lot of people thought that he would. But the San Diego Chargers go into Mile High tomorrow, and they beat the Denver Broncos at home again. And Peyton goes to the locker room with his helmet on, with his head down, shaking his head like he always does when he loses. God love him. I love Peyton Manning, one of my favorite quarterbacks. And I'll tell you what, I love the man. Great guy, but you're right, Josh. He cannot win in the postseason. This isn't going to change this year. He does not get the job done tomorrow in Denver. It's going to be a tight game. But San Diego comes in there and wins and comes back here to Indianapolis. It's San Diego, Indianapolis, in the AFC Championship. Go ahead, Josh.
I would agree with you if Ryan Matthews was playing, and if Peyton Manning had made his remark the other day, Tom, I'm assuming you've heard it by now. You might not have. For the first time, Peyton Manning has actually uttered the phrase, my career won't go on much longer. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Peyton Manning never said that when he was having his four neck surgeries here in Indianapolis. As a Colts fan, I'm an Andrew Luck fan, but to hear Peyton Manning utter the phrase, the light at the end of the tunnel, did make me a bit sad for that reason. Denver is going to beat San Diego. And the bigger question is, Tom, does Jim Irsay start mouthing off on Twitter today, or does he wait till Denver actually wins, or does he just start mouthing off at halftime of the Patriots game?
I don't think he's going to say anything today. I don't think Jim Irsay I don't know. We're talking about Jim Irsay on Twitter. I don't know. And you know what, though? Matt Hicks said that he thinks that Peyton Manning is going to play two more years, even if he wins the Super Bowl this year. I don't see that happening. Guys, I love Peyton Manning, and it would be a special run for him to get back to the Super Bowl. If he gets to the Super Bowl, great. I have a tendency to lean with you, Josh, on this. I do think that we're seeing the end of an era. Obviously, you talk about, can you imagine growing up in the days of Johnny Unitas and having him be your quarterback, obviously a Colts quarterback back in Baltimore, but can you imagine those days? That's what we experienced with the Colts. He's a Hall of Famer. Tony Dungy, Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning, Hall of Famers. Great Hall of Famers going to happen. He's going to go in as a Colt, and on the plaque is going to be the Broncos. But nonetheless, he's done. I agree with you. I agree with you on that, and I wish that wasn't the case. He's a special quarterback to watch, and I think it's an emotional quarterback as well. So we'll see what happens. But we, as Colts fans, we have to root for the Chargers. Peyton and the Broncos, you know, that's just how it is. Let's move on to tomorrow's game. Carolina in San Francisco. The other game, and really underneath the radar because of so much attention that's being put on the Broncos and the Chargers and the Colts and the Patriots, the NFC's really kind of not been getting the big spotlight, if you will. But what a game. What a game that is going to be. And probably one of the best games of the weekend, San Francisco 49ers versus the Carolina Panthers. Guys, I'm telling you, I made this prediction earlier with Matt Hicks. It's going to be the Indianapolis Colts and the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. This is Cam Newton's year. He's on fire.
Tom, I would absolutely love for that to come true. These are two more quarterbacks in this year's playoffs who are proving all the experts wrong who say every time the draft rolls around, you can't be a minority quarterback and win the National Football League. Did you want to tell Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, both minority quarterbacks, they can't win in the playoffs? Not really thinking why he's going to make that argument. That being said, San Francisco is going to blitz Cam Newton all day long and win that game by two touchdowns.
Well, real quickly here, Josh, I want to make sure we have time for our next guest, who's only got 10 minutes. He said, I got 10 minutes for you, Mr. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show, and newly of 93.1 News Talk, WIBC, his serious role. Jason Hammer, how you doing, sir? My friend, what's going on? Are you thawed out?
I am thawed out. I am in a little youth basketball heaven right now, watching the kids play their Saturday morning basketball game. So if at some point you hear me jump up and yell, you know, some F-bombs to another parent, please forgive me. This is just the way that I get down watching my kids play.
Well, you know what? We would from Jason Hammer, we would expect nothing less. So,
well, thank you.
Hey, Jason, real quick, I know you promised me 10 minutes, and I'm going to take all 10 minutes of that. So let's talk about the Colts and the Patriots. The Colts go out to New England, and this is going to be a game above all games. The spread is 50. I think that is way, way too high for this game. It's going to be a low-scoring game, but the Colts come back with a win, but they do have to play all 60 minutes to make it happen.
If Andrew Luck throws three interceptions, there's not a snowball's chance in Hades the Colts can win this game. It's got to be clean. Now, at the same time, this isn't the Patriots monster that we've seen in the past. There's no Gronk. There's no Wes Welker. The receiving core is very dilapidated. I like the Colts' chances today. I really do. But even in the Kansas City game, there were some plays in that game that Alex Smith left on the field. There were a couple wide-open touchdowns that Alex Smith didn't connect on. Tom Brady's going to connect on those. He can bring some folks down from the stands, and if they get open, Tom Brady's going to find a way to hit them. So that's the one thing that would scare me just a little bit as a Colts fan. The Colts cannot play sloppy and expect to win this game today. They're going to need their best performance. Now, if both teams play to their level, I still think the Colts can win this. On paper, I'm not so sure the Patriots are the better team. Vegas begs to differ, but when you lay these things out, the Colts got a heck of a shot to win this thing, but they cannot put the ball on the ground, cannot throw the ball to the other team. If the Colts commit two or more turnovers today, I'm putting the over-under at two, they will not win this game.
Jason, you're a big Vegas guy. Is that spread too high?
I think so. I absolutely think so. I think Vegas all year, though, hasn't put stock in the Colts. Heading into this season, they set the mark for the win total at 8. And had I been in Vegas prior to NFL season, I would have bet the mortgage the Colts would have won above 8, which they ultimately did. And every major game this year, the Colts have been the underdog against Seattle, against Denver, against San Francisco. And those are the times the Colts have played their best football. Honestly, when the expectations have been on the Colts' shoulders, that's kind of when they've laid the egg. You know, you look at the St. Louis game and even Kansas City, the Colts were a 2-point favorite going into that thing, but ultimately, you know, halfway through the first half, you're looking up at the scoreboard and you're down 20-plus points. As an underdog, this team, they kind of – that's their M.O. That's what they do. But in terms of the Vegas spread, if I were in the Mandalay Bay sports bar right now, I think the Colts cover. Now, I don't know if they win or not, but I certainly think that they cover. I think it's going to be close.
$2 bill Josh is also with us, who is my partner in crime, especially during the playoff season. Josh, you got anything for Jason?
I actually have two things I want to get your thoughts on, Jason. A, what do you think Bill Belichick thought when he woke up this morning and saw the weather forecast? All week long, they were talking about Andrew Luck's going to struggle in the cold. The forecast for tonight is 55 degrees with a little bit of light rain. Do you think he went, I'm not going to use the language on the radio. What do you make of the fact that Tom Brady's 9 worst games have come against Chuck Pagano-led defenses? He has more interceptions than touchdowns against Pagano, and he has never thrown for over 300 yards against the Chuck Pagano defense.
Well, let's talk about the second point first here. With the Pagano defense, their M.O., even back with Baltimore and even now with the Colts, is you have to get pressure. And even we've seen this with Tom Brady in the past. When the Colts have beaten the Patriots, it's because they've gotten pressure on Brady. Brady's not one of these guys where if you get some heat on him, you know, he's just going to take a knee, he's going to take the hits, you know, and he'll start making better throws. We've seen in the past, if you get pressure on number 12 in the Patriot jersey, he can throw the ball to the other team from time to time, too. And Robert Mathis, correct me if I'm wrong, but outside of divisional opponents, he's got more sacks on Tom Brady than any other quarterback in the National Football League. So Robert Mathis has had some success against that Patriots line in the past. Granted, it's a different group right now, but when your best defensive player knows the MO of their best offensive player, I think that's a pretty big advantage for the Colts. So if they can get pressure, Brady will throw some picks. He's not above it. We've seen that in the past, but you got to get the pressure. And in terms of the weather, you couldn't ask for better conditions. I think if we all got together, you know, prior to the NFL draft last year or at the combine, we're sitting, you know, at Coach's Tavern in downtown Indianapolis having some drinks and said, hey, if you have to play a road game in Foxborough in January, will you settle for 50 in rain? I think we would all take that.
Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show, and newly his more serious role with 93.1 News Talk WIBC. I appreciate Jason joining us. I know you told me 10 minutes, so this is the last question here. Jason, it looks like Pat McAfee pulled a Jason Hammer. He took a nudie of Andrew Luck, and his fine was more than a dollar and less than $3 million. What I want to know is, come on now, we know that you coached him on doing this, because that's exactly something that Jason Hammer would do.
Well, luck would have it, we were the ones, the Hammer and Nigel Show were the ones that pointed it out to Pat McAfee.
Oh my God.
You can follow the Twitter timeline of producer Brad BS. As soon as McAfee tweeted that out, wrote him back and tagged Hammer and Nigel, there's a nude Andrew Luck in the back. McAfee deleted it right away. So being the gentleman that we were, we copied the picture and put it on our website at hammerandnigel.com.
I'm looking
and
at it right
so far,
now.
Based on that picture, the Hammer and Nigel website so far in 2014 is outperforming such radio station sites as WZPL, Q95. I mean, every major radio station, we're beating in web numbers for that one screw-up that Pat McAfee did. And maybe I'm just sounding bitter. I like Pat. Pat's a good dude, does a lot of charity work, and the city needs Pat McAfee. But Pat McAfee has never been on the Hammer and Nigel Show. Pat never responds to us when we ask him to come on the show. So, you know what? Maybe karma came back to bite him in the taint.
I don't know. Maybe that's what you got to do. Maybe you got to get his people now to say, hey, you've got to go on the Hammer and Nigel Show. You have got to get in front of this. You have got
exactly.
to do some damage control. Well,
had it
hey,
been Matt
got...
Overton, good friend of our show, we would have posted the photo of Matt. We would have covered it up, and we would have blamed it on somebody else. But if you're going to ignore us, then by all means, here's your naked quarterback. You're welcome.
I love it. I love it. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. Obviously, you guys have a lot of fun out there at Coach's Tavern. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do out there and when they can catch you.
Yep. We got a couple big things coming up. Right now through January, every Thursday night at 9 o'clock, we do the Hammer and Nigel Show live, Coach's Tavern downtown. Great sports bar. There's wings. There's poker. All the games are on the screens. We have a local guest every week, local celebrity, fun band, something fun. And then in January, we move the show to 7 o'clock. Oh, I'm sorry, February. Starting in February, we move the show to 7 o'clock. So this is the last few days of the late night show. And then the 7 o'clock show comes in February. And this week and all of next week, there'll be an article in the IBJ, the Indiana Business Journal, about the Hammer and Nigel Show. So if you've got a subscription or if you've got a copy, check that out. It should be out later today, but it might have been pushed back due to the weather and everybody having, you know, time off of work and everything last week. But it should be sometime this week.
All right. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. Jason, where can people follow you, stalk you, or whatever on
Yep, follow
us on
Facebook and Twitter at Hammer and Nigel and hammerandnigel.com.
All right, Hammer, Jason Hammer, we appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to talking with you again in the future. And I appreciate you not dropping the F-bomb on my show today.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. Me and him are good friends, and I love having him on the show. He just really brings a lot. And thanks, Jason, for giving us the insight and the insight on that Pat McAfee photo. How great was that? How awesome was that? $2 bill, Josh, real quickly, you got the last word. Go.
Go ahead and tune into the Colts Patriots game. It's game today. The Colts are going to punch their ticket to the AFC title game. Penn State's going to be... IU, and Tom, I'll see you next Sunday for the AFC title game.
We'll do it, sir. $2 bill, Josh, guys, that's going to do it.
Now, what a match of all.
We always run out of time here when time comes to an end. And you know what? We got a little bit of a bumpy start, but it all balances out. My name is Tom Martin with El Presidente. The Colts, the Patriots, the Saints, the Seahawks. Tonight, be in front of your TV right after this show. I'm getting ready to watch me some IU basketball, guys. No matter what you do today, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll see you next week right here on the Balance Radio Network. I'll see you.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Hey.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.